Blog Talk Radio.
Assembling us together in unity once again around the spectrum
Father God, we know that this earthly place is not our permanent home. But Father God, we know that thou lies in wait a mansion that's not filled by the hand of man, God. But you are its builder. And God, until you crack that cloud one historic day, God, we'll be coming and going as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you to anoint these that proclaim tonight, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you. Hallelujah. In the party of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom. For those that are hurting deep within the pity of their souls. These and other blessings, Father God, we ask in your Son Jesus' righteous name. And we in unity around the world to say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And as I first stated, I hope and pray that you had a beautiful day. I hope all was well in your family circle. And I hope and pray that it continually to be well. And I know that in this life, we're going to have some ups and downs, some turnarounds. We're going to have some good. We're going to have some not so good days. We're going to lose some friends. We're going to lose some loved ones. A long life journey. But all in all, hallelujah, I just know that in the midst of life calamities, we continually to press on and press on our way. But we know that we're pressing on unto a mark of a high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And so our sermon on tonight is entitled Discipline, Disciple. I will say that one more time. Tonight's sermon entitled Discipline, Disciples. And we will take our key scripture from the law of Hebrews 12 and 6. And it reads like this. Whom the Lord loved, he chastened. And he scourges every son whom he receives. That's found in the law of Hebrews 12 and 6. Hallelujah. And we know that as leaders in today's world, in today's church, in our communities, we know that sometimes we can get caught up in the all too human tendency to grasp, hallelujah, for position and power. And we often don't take time to think about what Jesus requires of us. When we routinely examine ourselves, hallelujah, we come to understand that God has something specific and special for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. God has an assignment for us to do. We may then be more inclined to focus on God and on his purpose for us. And the only way that we can be a Christian leader God wants for our communities is to live each and every moment by faith and be open to the filling of the Holy Spirit. Then we will discern the role that God wants for us to play in his kingdom. We know that our actions will coincide with what we say and what we believe. We will function and speak with the wisdom that the Spirit gives us. We will have the ability to set priorities and to be productive in whatever we are set apart to do. To live a faith-filled life. To live a spirit-filled life. To live a life meaningful that we must be disciplined. And the number one key is we must stay in God's word. Number two, we must pray in faith. Number three, we must fellowship with God's people. And number four, we must share a living faith with one another. Hallelujah. And if we do these things on a consistent basis, we will be more clear about our God-given ability and priorities. We'll be able to find others to help, and we will be effective in our work and our witness. We know that God needs spiritual mature men and women who are wise in his ways to lead his church. Spiritual leadership must not be taken lightly. It is only by faith that the power of the Holy Spirit that we can use and develop the gifts of God has given us to the good of his kingdom. And our prayer should be, help me, Lord, to seek your face. Help me humble myself, hallelujah, and submit to the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Let the work I do for you be guided by your wisdom. Hallelujah. These prayers we ask in Jesus' name. And we also know, hallelujah, that God disciplines and he trains his erring sons and daughters. He may do so directly. We know in 1 Corinthians 11 and 29 through 32, or he may allow life's hardship to melt us and to mold us and to make us more like Jesus. And we can read also in the law of Hebrews 12 and 6. We can be assured that when the Lord loves and whom he loves, he chastens. We know that yet God chastens doesn't feel very good. And it doesn't feel very loving sometimes. We even think it's ruining us. But we have come to the realization that God discipline is the very thing that will save us from the ruin of our selfish, stubborn ways. And although we're unlikely to enjoy God's discipline, we're told that it trains us for the right and the holy living. Rather than resisting God's correction, we can yield to him, confident that his goal is our spiritual growth. Whatever our circumstances, God knows the seriousness of our difficulty, and he is working powerfully behind the scenes for our good. His tough love is the making of us. Hallelujah. God's love is a hand of discipline. It may give us a little rest. His only purpose in our good, he wants for us what is best. And we know that God's discipline is designed to make us like his son. Hallelujah. We know that in this life, we have come to many tasks that we were reluctant to take on. You know, and we have said in our heart and in our spirit, you faced an unwanted chore and felt that it were the last thing on earth you wanted to do. For instance, mowing the lawn or doing the dishes, washing and cleaning the house, or even preparing your Sunday school lesson. After an exhausting week, it can make you feel procrastinated. We find out when this happens. Hallelujah. We should take on a mindset. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because we know that there is something about recognizing our lack of motivation and then choosing the responsible that helps us follow through. We know that God values on faith. in obedience, when we obedience to God. It can be seen in the parable of Jesus Christ when he spoke about two sons who were asked to work in the vineyard. When he first said no, but afterward he regretted it and went. And that found in the law of Matthew 21 and 29. And the second says yes, but did not follow through. Then the Lord asked his listeners, which of the two did the will of his father? That's verse 31. And the obvious answer is the one who finished the task. We know that our Lord, hallelujah, illustrated, underscored key scriptural principles that God is interested in our faith, and he's interested in our obedience, not just our good intentions. So I would encourage you that the next time you are tempted to shirk your duties, why not say, I don't feel like it? But then ask God for the grace to do it anyway. You can ask God to help us, Lord, to heed your word, in precepts to obey, and then give us strength to quench the urge to do things our own way. Because we know that obedience, hallelujah, is our faith in action. And we know that God, he built his church, and in much the same way that the Bible pictures the church of Jesus Christ as a building, and each believer is a block in that building. We find out that Peter said that we are living stones, and we are being built up a spiritual house. That's found in the law of 1 Peter 2 and 5. And Peter said that we are being joined together. That's found in the law of Ephesians 2 and 21. And we are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Hallelujah. We know that there are people with a variety of talents. They have background abilities of interest and needs make up Christ's church. So uniting in a common purpose is not an easy process. Yet when we let the Lord do his work among us, shaping us and assigning our place in the structure, we find out that we become part of a strong, solid edifice. Yes, we're all different in some shape, form, or fashion, but God is building an enduring church. He's building the magnificent Inca building. Will eventually crumble. But we know that the church of God is built to last. Hallelujah. We know that Christ built his church with different stones. And he made each one secure. And he made them in all shapes and sizes to fit in place, to make his church endure. We know that the permanence of the church is based on the character of his building, of his builders. And so we know that to be a disciple that God is looking for, we will have to be diligently in seeking God's will for our lives. And not our own way, but God's way for our life. Because we know that the life of God consists of praying in supplication with God, reading his word daily, and then witnesses as we go to and for our journey. We should include that in our daily itinerary, is to pray. That should be number one on our priority list. Hallelujah, it's a prayer. Because the word of God tells us man should always pray and not faint. And so God is looking for a disciplined disciple. We know that in order to be effective and efficient disciple of God, it requires us, hallelujah, to examine ourselves. And we can understand God has something specific for each and every one of us. We all have a different assignment. Because it's plenty work in God's vineyard. As disciple of God, we have to be willing and able to adhere to God's command. And not only God's command, but God's direction. We must be able to discern God talking to us in the spirit. And you can hear God softly talking to you in the spirit realm. In order to do that, you have to be prayed up. Hallelujah. And laced up with the word of God. And reading it diligently, daily. We have to include this in our daily walk with God. And we will be the disciple that God is looking for. We know that we are a chosen vessel of Jesus Christ. We are a particular and a peculiar people of God. We are set apart from the world. God tell us that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And I know a lot of times in this journey, this walk with God, a lot of times our adversary, which is Satan, he wants to cross our path. And he wants to show us all of the things that the world has to offer. But you know that the things of this world is only temporal. And it's only what you and I do for God is going to last. Only what you and I do for God. Because if we go about God's business on our everyday journey, then God is putting a brick, a stone, toward our temple every day. And whatever we do for God, don't you know God is writing it down? God is writing it down in the Lamb Book of Life. God has not forgotten. One songwriter said, he has not forgotten. And God has not forgotten your good work. And God is going to repay you. Hallelujah. Not that we should be paid for doing God's will, but that's just the way God operates. He just gets a good joy out of being a blessing to you and I, his disciples. He loves us so, and we just mean so much to God until he just would grab us in his great big old loving arms and call us his children and say that we are the children of God. So if we are the children of God, then we must act as though we are the children of God and not acting like wayward children, but acting like civilized, sanctified, God-fearing disciples. That's what God is expecting of you and I. And if God gave you and I an assignment, we should be big enough, the man enough, we should man up and woman up to the assignment of God. When we told God, we said, God, in our vows, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. And do it with not grumbling, you know, and just you know, bickering in your spirit. But do it with gladness and with a glad heart. Because God don't want you doing anything that you do not want to do. God don't want to put you in any inconvenience. God wants you to do his will with the utmost care and grace, hallelujah, and respect for God and his principal law that he has implemented for you and I. God left us a book, and the book is the 66 books, and it starts from Genesis, and it ends at Revelation. So God left you and I a book when he left this planet over 2,000 light years ago. God left you and I a book. Hallelujah. He left us a book to believe in. And in it, we have a whole lot to learn. Even the scholars have to go back and have a refresher course, because God's word is fresher and newer every time that you open up the Bible. God has a new revelation for you and I to absorb in our spirit. And I tell you, if we would just be the disciplined disciples, that's what we're talking about tonight. Our sermon on tonight is talking about the disciplined disciple. And so God is wanting us to discipline ourselves to where we'll have our itinerary, where even those of us that work outside of the home, that have to commute to and fro daily from home to your workplace, but you have implemented your itinerary, that you have outlined what you're going to do for God, what your sermons are, what your Sunday school message is going to be, what your missionary goal is going to be, you know. And so when you do that, you set aside time for God, because we have to get in God's word in order to deliver God's word. We must read God's word and get an understanding. And sometimes we can read God's word and we will need some guidance. But all you got to do is just look up to your Heavenly Father and say, God, I don't understand this. Will you clarify this for me? Open up my heart of understanding. And it is done. I mean, just as quick as you can say, God, give me understanding. For God said, oh, I'll get it. Let us get an understanding. Hallelujah. And so we got to get an understanding of God's word to be efficient to deliver his word in its entirety. His word, just like he wrote it. We don't add anything to God's word, and we don't take away. But we implement it. We tell the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like he has told us to do. When we do that, we will be in line with God's will and God's way for our lives. And who knows, we don't know how many souls that you can compel to come to Christ. Because people are looking for truth. There are so many people out there just telling untold truth, until people don't know where to go. They don't know where to look, because they're lying in our judicial system. They lying on the White House lawns. They lying up on Capitol Hill. So they don't know where to go. They're lying in our universities. They're lying in our college campuses. They're lying in our schools. They're lying in our daycare. They're lying in our Head Start. So really, the parents, the family, don't have nothing to go on because all they have found so far is a lying tongue. We don't want to be labeled as a liar. We want to live out the life that we preach about and that we teach about. If I'm going to live holy, I'm going to ask you to live holy. Whether you live holy or not, I'm going to ask that you live holy according to God's word. Because I'm only implementing what God has instructed me. I'm God's messenger. I'm God's mouthpiece. I am a mimic of Jesus Christ. Whatever he says, that's what I mimic. Just like a duplication, I duplicate God's word, just like he said. And so, if you're going to be a preacher, deacon, missionary, pastor, or whatever your position is, live out your life so that your family and your friends and your constituents and those on your workplace, those at the bank, those that you go into your regular grocery store, can look at you and say, "That's a beautiful woman there. That's a beautiful man going there." Meaning a beautiful spirit. And you can see the love of God in their lives. We're talking about the disciplined disciple on tonight. Live your life in such a way that you have an impact in your community, an impact in your neighborhood, an impact to your next door neighbor, an impact to your neighbor across the street, an impact to your neighbor around the block, an impact to your neighbor around the way, an impact to your neighbor over across yonder, an impact to your neighbor in the spectrum realm. You're making such an impact that people tend to want to know what it is that you know. And they want to find out what you know, they want to know. And that is when you're lined up, disciplined with the word of God. And your lifestyle reflects that. Because we are a reflection of God. That's what we are. God said we was made in his image. So that means that we, as a holy nation, as holy people, as holy disciples, we have taken on the image of God. Hallelujah. And the manner in which we are to live as Christian disciples in this world. We cannot live holy on Sunday, and then on Monday we're going to the strip club, we're going to the strip bar, we're going to Las Vegas to gamble. We're going into the hotel with Mr. Jones' wife. We're going to the hotel with Mrs. Jones' husband. Because when you are living out the life that you teach and preach and edify, you will be happy with the spouse and the mate that God has given unto you. Or maybe before you known God, you met and married someone. Well, now you didn't get a divorce before you got into God, so you just have to pray for the spouse and the wife that you have, and just pray that God would bless him or her to be the kind of wife or husband that you desire. And God can make each and every one of us to his liking. There is no such thing as we cannot be changed, because each and every one of us can be changed. God made us, and he controls us. We just have that willpower to either listen to the Spirit of God or reject the Spirit of God. God, give us that liberty to choose which way we wanted to go. God, don't, you know, make us do anything. He leaves that to our leaders to accept him or reject him. It is your call. So, like I said, we're talking about the disciplined disciples on this evening. And so we are to discipline our lifestyle that men and women not only see us, but they see Christ living inside of us. And God says that what's on the inside will show up on the outside. Hallelujah. And so, before ending, I hope and I pray, hallelujah, that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have a prayer petition, you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you are most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Block Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Email address, janiceallaboutgod@yahoo.com. Till we meet again, across these skyways and highways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. And we will allow the completion of these selections to bring this program to its conclusion. Till we meet again. Bye for now. Here.